Welcome to the Daily Devotion with Pastor Terry Reynolds.
It's good to be with you today. We're in Mark chapter 9 as we're continuing along in the Gospels. We'll be beginning in verse number 14. We read, "And when he came to his disciples," basically back down from the hill where he was, "he saw the great multitude about them and the scribes who were questioning with the disciples. And straightway," otherwise immediately, "all the people, when they beheld him and were greatly amazed, running to him, saluted him," otherwise greeted him, and he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" Don't you love it here? We see now the shepherd. He sees his sheep in trouble, and these scribes were there talking with them, and he's going to go right to their defense, protecting the sheep. What are you talking to them about? A true shepherd's heart is there to protect the sheep from the wolves. And I understand how important that is for ministers, for pastors, for leaders, for deacons within the church, that when we see those who creep in unaware, that we take charge and we protect the sheep. That's something that, as a pastor myself, I my heart breaks when I see people taking advantage of Christians, of believers, and God help us that we would identify and that we would take the right steps to protect the flock and to watch over them. As we go on now, as we see here now in verse 17, "And one of the multitudes," otherwise one of the men in the crowd, "answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit. And where whatsoever or whosoever he or taketh him, he teareth him." Otherwise, any place I go, he teareth him. And he foameth at the mouth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and he pineth away. And I spake unto your disciples, and they should cast him out, otherwise take care of the demon. And they could not. And he answered him, and he said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, immediately the spirit teared at him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming. Otherwise, this young man, he was just now, as the demon saw who Jesus was, that he was there, he just went into this full rampage, and he ended up on the ground foaming in his mouth. And as we read, it goes on and tells us, "And he, being Jesus, asked his father, how long is it since he has come, and since this has came unto him? And he says, of a child." Otherwise, since he was a little child, he's been struggling with this. "And oftentimes it had cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Otherwise, Jesus, if there's any way that you can help us, please do this. Apparently the father not only had tried everything he could, but he was at wit's end. He didn't know what to do with his son. And so he's bringing him to Jesus and says, "Is there anything, any way that you can help my child?" Boy, I certainly can understand that. I can understand what he was going through. As Jesus asked him, how long he had been going through this, and said, since he was a child. And so if it's possible, would you please help my son? Would you please have compassion? And then, of course, as we read here in verse 24, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe." I would encourage you to underline that in your Bible. "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe." And straightway, otherwise immediately, the father of the child crieth out and said unto with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Can you picture this? Can you picture the moves with all the pathos, all the emotions that are going on? You can imagine the feeling of the father to see his son in this condition, unable to speak. But worse than that, going into these fits where his body was just tormenting itself, where he begins to foam at the mouth and gnash at his teeth, where oftentimes he would be jumping in the fire and going through the fits of jumping in the water and then going through fits and, you know, just trying to destroy the pain that he was going through. You know, I just, how often I think of this, that really it must have ripped the heart of the Father. And in desperation, in true desperation, he heard, must have heard about Jesus, and he says, I'm going to bring him to Jesus. And Jesus has taken a last fling. Even while he was coming to Christ, even as his Father was bringing him to, his son to Christ, the Spirit takes hold of him and begins to tear at him. And he falls on the ground, and he begins to wallow there, foaming at the mouth. And the Father, in desperation, says, oh, Lord, if you could do anything, please, please have compassion. And Jesus says, if you just believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Oh, what a tremendous promise. What a glorious promise. All things are possible to him who believes. One of the things that I do want to take note of, Satan is destroyer. He wants to destroy everything that's good, everything that's right with mankind. And so often we blame shift the destruction, the pain of this world, the suffering on this world. How come God, you know, we want to blame it on, what? How can God be a loving God when we see pain like what is being described here in this story? See, but the Bible's real clear to tell us that Satan's a liar from the beginning. He's the destroyer. He comes to rob, steal, and destroy anything that's good, anything that's right, anything that's deemed good of God. He would love to destroy marriages. He would love to destroy families. He certainly wants to sow seed of discourse within churches to try to destroy churches. Oh, that we would just believe. And the story goes on, and immediately the father of the child cried out and said, oh, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. God help that area of my life where there's still unbelief. Can we echo an amen on that? The areas that I struggle, the areas that, you know, I know I should be trusting God. I know I should be, you know, better in what I actually am able to do. But yet, there's times where I just don't believe like I should. And let's pray even now and say, Lord, I want to believe. Lord, I do believe. But there, Lord, there's areas in my life where I just don't trust you like I should. Lord, would you please help me? Would you please strengthen those areas of unbelief to bring me to a place where I'll believe in you? And so when Jesus saw that the people came running together in verse 25, and course, for something like this, the crowd would become running out of curiosity. It tells us, as you go on, verse 25, he rebuked the foul spirit. I like that King James Version. It's a stinky spirit. The work of the flesh stinks. It's rotten. And he's saying unto them, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Now, it's interesting that Jesus would make that second command, enter him no more. Did you see that? Jesus said, when an evil spirit goes forth out of man, he goes through the wilderness area looking for a house to inhabit, and he finds none. He'll come back to the house from whence he was driven, and if he finds it all swept and clean and garnished, he'll go out even and get seven other spirits that they might come and abide in his house. The last state of the man is worse than the first. This is why Jesus said, do not enter him again. I think it's so important that we see this. And as we go in verse 26, he says, so the spirit cried and rent and tore him sore and came out of him. And he was one as one dead. I was lying like he was dead laying there, the young man. Insomuch to many of the people, many, or as the people around said, he is dead or he died. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he came out of the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could we not cast them out? Good question. They were powerless in this case. And he said unto them, this kind comes forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, there, you know, certainly in scriptures, there seems to be, and it certainly appears to be, a ranking of demon and spirits. And the Bible doesn't definitely speak of rankings, but, excuse me, the Bible does definitely speak of rankings, principalities, and powers, which are all rankings, and there's some type of power ranking. And I just think it's interesting where Jesus said that we should recognize this. And we should see that some things, when you don't see it being happening, or your prayers necessarily be answered the way you think they should be answering, maybe we need to spend more time in prayer. Maybe we should spend that time in fasting, which is just an opportunity for us to really be focused and drawn close to God. And so they departed from thence and passed through Galilee, and he tried to do it secretly, of course, and that any man should know it, for he taught his disciples. And so next week, or next time that we gather together, not necessarily next week, depending on when you're listening to this, may we learn from this that God recognizes our inability. He recognizes sometimes our weaknesses. And may we just not try to hide it from God, but we would confess, like this one man, and says, Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Get God involved with your areas of weaknesses. So often I think Christians want to try to hide it from God and only come to him when you feel like you're perfect. Well, if that's the case, I don't think you'll ever achieve it. I know I can't. God loves us the way that we are. Even that when we were yet a sinner, Christ died for us. He knows us thoroughly. He wants to change us day by day from glory to glory to glory. And so until next time, be encouraged. This is Pastor Terry. May God richly bless you.
Thank you for taking part in today's program. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Again, that's terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Or you can write us at Agape Chapel, P.O. Box 4023, Huntington Beach, California, 92647. May God richly bless you.